Welcome to Auction Talk. Your host is Greg Story, longtime member of the National Auctioneers Association, an accredited auctioneer in real estate and president of Hart G Auction Service. Now, here's Greg.
Welcome to this edition of Auction Talk. I want to speak today on a common event that people hear of and attend, and that is a benefit auction. Benefit auctions are a great way for organizations to raise money while showing people a good time. So how can your small nonprofit group put together a successful benefit auction? The first and the hardest thing to sometimes do is to find donated items to sell. I would never recommend having your members clean out their garages and basements, as this will leave you trying to sell all the junk your members couldn't get rid of in two or three yard sales. Sometimes people will have a canoe or an old vehicle that is mechanically and aesthetically good that they will donate. These kinds of things will often work for a benefit auction. Often your members include your local community's businessmen, and they will have items to donate. These are sometimes something that's been on their shelf for many years in that faded box. But that's okay. They'll still sell, and often for more than retail, depending on your auctioneer's performance. Another place to find good items is your local or regional community development office. They will often have blocks of tickets for professional sporting events that they will give away. Their leaders will welcome the opportunity to help you, as it looks good in the eyes of the community for their office, and also they want to aid you in your efforts. So how many items do you try and gather? Ideally, there is a rule of thumb. If the event is only a benefit auction, you will need to figure on approximately 1 to 2 items per bidding unit. As people usually come to these events together, we refer to a couple as one bidding unit. So if you're expecting 125 bidding units, you'll need a maximum of, say, 250 items to sell. If you're also doing a silent auction, we have what we refer to as the 80-20 rule. That is that 80% of the items are in the live auction and 20% are in the silent auction. Now, these figures on the bidding units don't apply if your event features something else such as a dance, because many people will come just for the dance, and you will want to do the live auction only while the band takes their break. This will keep the evening flowing and keep the people at your event. In the dance-type benefit event, you can also look at a 50-50 split between the items in the live and silent auctions, and maybe even a slightly larger number of items in the silent auction. Another mistake often made is that some organizations get so many donations that they group them with too many items together. An example of this would be a pair of football tickets that included a coupon book for a fast food restaurant, a free oil change, and a new floor jack. Many bidders with multiple children who are on a tight budget would love to bid $15 or $20 just on the coupon book, or $25 or $30 on the floor jack, but they can't afford to spend $300 or $400 on the football tickets. And the main buyers for the football tickets aren't really concerned with the smaller items thrown into the pot. So how you group your items and how they are split between the live and silent auction can be crucial to the success of your event. A good example of items that will do better in the silent auction range from a low-cost bottle of wine to a weekend stay at a fancy resort that's halfway across the state. So you've got your live and silent auction items all set up. What's next? Well, you've just got started. If possible, your auctioneer might get with the hall that you've rented or the band that's coming in for a sound system check. It's something that can't always be done in 5 minutes before the event when your guests are streaming in. Advisedly, your auctioneer should probably bring his own sound system that he's used to, and he knows how to set the volume and gain for each particular auction that he does. The sound system that the auctioneer uses can often be the most important thing on your to-do list. If your bidders can't hear the auctioneer clearly or understand him, then you've got no auction. Okay, the sound system has been checked and it's ready to go. Are you going to issue bidder numbers to the people that come in? If it's only an auction, I would strongly advise you to do so. Your bidders at an auction-only event will stay in one place, so their number or their paddle will be handy throughout the evening. If you're also having a dance, then bidder numbers can hurt you, and you'd better plan on having enough runners, that is, people with clipboards, to go over to the bidders immediately as they successfully buy an item and get their name and address and signature. As well, the runners need to be able to listen and understand the auctioneer for the amount paid. What about bid spotters scattered throughout the hall to aid the auctioneer? This is an area that I have seen hurt more benefit auctions than any other. In a large hall where the auctioneer is often surrounded 360 degrees by the bidders, it's almost impossible for any auctioneer not to miss a bid throughout the evening. At events where there are alcoholic beverages served, as many times benefits do, the bid spotters often partake in such thirst quenchers, and as the evening progresses, they become worthless, or I've seen them disappear altogether. If no one sees the bidder's bid, you will not only lose a lot of money, but the people that were trying to buy something not only won't come back next year, but they'll tell all their friends how poorly your event was run. Just a quick note here. Usually the bid spotters are unfamiliar on how to do it, and the auctioneer needs time to school them on the procedure to ensure success at their job. Now let's look at the office staff and how they're going to handle the important job of collecting the money. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Who's going to be the cashier for your event? If you're having an auction-only type event, then you'll need someone to clerk and fill out a clerk ticket for each item as it is sold. This clerk has to be able to hear and understand everything the auctioneer is saying throughout the evening. One important rule here is that no one, and I mean no one, talks or bothers the clerk. If the clerk misses a number or an amount, they need to stop the auctioneer and get the ticket correctly filled out immediately. Later is not the time. Anyway, these clerk tickets are then taken to the office by a ticket runner and filed by the office personnel. It is easy to file them by bidder's number, and as people leave, they present their number and their total purchases are added up. If you have a dance type of event, then your runners will bring the sheets with the buyer's name and address up to the office to be filed alphabetically for final checkout. I once saw a benefit that had inexperienced office staff file the tickets by the item that sold. Well, needless to say, they had a mess, because after a long night and a few too many drinks, the buyers couldn't always remember everything that they had purchased. You can imagine the chaos that this type of mistake led to that evening and the following days. When getting an auctioneer for your event, you never just get an inexperienced person. I heard of an organization that had a member that thought they could do it and had always wanted to try. Well, it ended in disaster, as few people are prepared for the rigors of bid calling. The auctioneer you get will need to be proficient at benefit auctions. Most people think that all auctions are the same, but your auctioneer will probably also have to be part MC, and this is not always such an easy task at some benefits. Auctioneers also vary their chant for the type of buyers they have. But let's say you're selling some prized professional football tickets. An experienced benefit auctioneer will be able to stir the crowd up to a slight frenzy to bid more by maybe asking who wants to see their team beat the stuffing out of that crummy other team. once he gets the crowd fired up, the bidding will also be fired up. A professional benefit auctioneer will try their best to stir up the same bidding frenzy for even the smallest items in the auction. The success of a benefit auction is always hard to judge. Many groups have a goal set to raise a certain amount for a specific project. Many do an auction every year for needed operating funds. Often, when there is also a dance involved, people coming to the event will be charged the price of admission. These type of events will have a dance, food, a cash bar, door prizes, and more. All of these things and the live and silent auction will create a cash cow for the organization. So how do you judge the success of your benefit auction? One way, of course, is to keep track of the total revenues versus the total value of items sold. These figures will vary from area to area and for different types of auctions. Very few benefit bidders want to just throw their money away. They want to be generous, but they still like value for their money. In difficult economic times, it becomes harder to always get retail value for benefit items. Many times, if you can get 40 to 50% of claim value for the items, then your sale was a great success. But then you also need to look at the total money brought in versus the total value of the items sold. If the total money brought in is close to or even greater than the total claim value of all the items, then you've definitely had a successful benefit auction. You need to also track what types of items brought in the highest percentage. Even track the items in the silent auction the same way. When planning for next year's event, don't eliminate the small company that donates items of little value. It's often important for them to be included in your event. Every group wants to be at least more successful than the year before, which will bring in more money every year. This is why, the day after your benefit auction, you need to sit down and do the tracking of the items sold that I have mentioned. Don't just look at the results, but write them down and file them away for next year's planning. So right after your event, you've gotten started on your tracking, pay your expenses, and you have a committee meeting with everyone involved as soon as possible to discuss your findings. Pat everyone on the back for a job well done, and start writing down suggestions for next year. Don't forget to get thank you cards out to everyone that was involved, from the guy who volunteered to haul out the trash to the parking attendants. Here are a couple of tips on advertising. Local newspapers will usually give space for articles and even advertising for any benefit auction. If your local radio station has a morning talk show, get different people that are involved to go in and speak. Don't forget the auctioneer, as he will probably be the most confident person behind a microphone. After the event, be sure to get an article ready for the newspaper as soon as possible. And get back on that radio show soon for a wrap-up and more thank yous, with the honest statement that you're already planning to make next year's bigger and better with something for everyone. This was just a quick look at what it takes to put on a benefit auction. I've seen many benefit committee members work themselves into exhaustion trying to remember and iron out all the details for this type of an event. For this reason, many organizations go ahead and hire a professional benefit auction company to take over the details of the auction. The committee still collects the items to sell and is involved to whatever extent they feel they can honestly handle and agree to. These auctioneers are paid for their services just like any other auction they may do. And undoubtedly, they will bring so much extra to the event that the end result pleases all the committee members. Benefit auctions are fun, but like many fun things we do in life, they are also a lot of work. So roll up your sleeves, kick around the ideas, and raise some money for your favorite organization, all while having some fun. Thank you. And now for today's mailbox. I received an email the other day from Tom. Tom states that, "I just came back from auction school and I'm very excited and looking forward to my first auction. My problem is that I need a good PA system, and I'm a little strapped for money after paying for auction school. Can you recommend a good PA system that will last but not break my bank account?" Tom, we've all been there. An old-time auctioneer told me when I was starting out to skip lunch for a year if that was what it took to get a good PA. Well, in those days it was true, but now, Tom, you're in luck because the price of PAs has come down and the systems are vastly improved over what they used to be. I would recommend a system from Anchor Audio for any auctioneer. They have a complete line, and you can custom order a system to fit your needs and your pocketbook. You can see all their products on our website or go to www.anchoraudio.com. They stand behind their products with a full 6-year warranty. So get a PA picked out that fits your needs, and then get to work selling. Tune in again next time to Auction Talk.
We thank you for tuning in to Auction Talk. Email your auction questions to Greg at hartg@centurytel.net or call 719-384-4797 or go to hartg.com and click on the Auction Talk radio tab. Tune in next time for Auction Talk. $8,000.